I'm Sarah Lipman. Welcome to Torati Mecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we'll be learning Sefer Mishlei, Proverbs, Chapter 22. Chapter 22 has a great emphasis on the relationships between poor and wealthy people, with each other and with themselves. The word ashir, wealthy, in various forms, appears 5 times in the chapter, which is 12 times more frequently than it appears elsewhere in the Book of Mishlei, and 180 times more frequently than it occurs in other parts of Tanakh. The word dal, impoverished person or poor person, appears 4 times in the chapter, which is 8 times more frequently than the rest of the book, and 116 times more frequently than it appears in other parts of Tanakh. Our studies will be based on the teachings of Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. The first place the concept of wealth is introduced to us by the Torah is in Bereishis chapter 14. Avram, having come to the rescue of the king of Sodom, declares, "Im michut ve'ad srochnal, ve'imakach mikol asher lach, ve'lo somar, ani he'esharti es Avram." He says, "I won't take any reward from you, not even a shoelace. I don't want you to say, I made Avram wealthy." So the first place we hear any mention of wealth is that the king of Sodom should not say, "I made Avram wealthy." Why is that such a big deal? Why does it matter so much if the king of Sodom is going to claim to have enriched Avram? Who cares what he says? The king of Sodom is the figurehead of total selfishness. We know about Sodom. Sodom is literally the most selfish society on the planet, so much so that it had to be eradicated. Sodom is the city of what's mine is mine, and where kindness and charity were outlawed. This is the exact opposite of the message that Osher, wealth, is meant to convey into the world, as being opposite to the message of God's goodness and kindness as conveyed in wealth. Avram refuses to have anything to do with the possibility of the king of Sodom claiming that he provided wealth to Avram. Avram knows that it doesn't matter how much or how little he has. What matters is how he uses it. If the money will be elevated, it declares to its owner and to the world that everything comes from God and can be elevated. It fulfills its purpose. If the king of Sodom claims that wealth comes from him, then the value of the wealth is undermined completely. Worse, it's a declaration in praise of the king of Sodom. It's a declaration in praise of total selfishness. That's the antithesis of what Avram's life was about, and certainly what wealth is about. Says Avram, "Not a shoelace will I accept from you, and you will not be able to claim that you enriched me." Related to Osher, wealth, is the number Eser, 10. Aser ta'aser, commands the Torah. Tithe and tithe again your wealth. When we look at the world, our physical world, we say, it's not all for me. First and foremost, I'm in the service of God. I'm here to bring blessing to others. When I receive money, when I have a profit, first I tithe. I don't only remember this idea in theory, I put it into actual practice. Maaser, tithing, transforms the physical amassing of wealth into an act of spirituality. It elevates the physical. And as we discussed in chapter 1 of Mishlei, that is the overarching goal of our time here in the physical world, to elevate the physical up to God. The Torah does not dismiss the physical side of life, it elevates it. Thus, our osher, our wealth, is only fully collected, it's only ours, when we aser, tithe it. The Mishnah and Avos teaches us, Ezehu ashir, who is wealthy? Hasameach becholko, it's the one who is happy with his portion. As the verse says, Yigia kapecha ki sochel ashrecha v'tov lach. When you are able to eat the work of your own hands, fortunate are you, and it is good for you. Ashrecha be'olam hazeh, fortunate in this world, v'tov lach le'olam haba, and it is good for you in the next world. Being wealthy isn't about the number of dollars in your bank account. I have a personal friend who suffered deeply in the stock market crash of 2008 because their portfolio dropped in value from $50 million to $35 million. They felt poor. Wealth is an experience, and it is experienced only relatively. Do I feel that I have plenty, or do I feel that I am lacking? When I see everything God gives me as the tools of my trade, the resources for the job he sent me to, then I feel wealthy because I know that I've got what I need. I know that whatever he gives me, I can elevate it. I have enough to be successful with. I can give that material income a spiritual meaning and purpose. Once we understand that wealth is actually a mindset and an experience and not a number in a bank account, it lends new insight into the situation of the dal, the poor person. The word dal is related to the word for drying up, to be thin, to trickle down. A person who is dal, poor, is someone who hasn't always been poor, but they've fallen into poverty. They've come down in the world. So the dal is a person who's fallen into poverty, and ani is a person dependent on others for subsistence, and evyon is someone whose will is dependent on the willingness of others to support them. Someone may be a dal, feel like a poor person, someone who's come down in the world, even if objectively other people have it worse than they do. If someone was a multimillionaire and now they're earning a living wage, they really feel the fall. They feel the change of lifestyle. They feel really impoverished and poor. The first time we see the word dal, poverty, is in Bereishis chapter 41, when Pharaoh is retelling his dream about the fat cows and the skinny cows. He says, "Behold, seven other cows came up after them. They were dalos veraos, poor, bad in appearance, and they were meager of flesh. I've never seen anything like it in all the land of Egypt for how bad it was." Interestingly, the Torah also provides us with the original dream, not only Pharaoh's retelling of the dream. And in the original dream, those cows were described as poor to look at and thin of flesh. They weren't described as dull, poor. But when Pharaoh described the dream as he remembered experiencing it, those cows were first and foremost dalos, poor. What he's adding here is not information about the cows. He's adding information about how he sees the cows, how he feels about them. Poverty is also not a function of the number in the bank account. It's about an experience. So dal is the experience of feeling poor rather than the objective level of need. It's really no surprise that if Ezehu Ashir Hasameach Bechalko, who is rich, one who's happy with what he has, it's not surprising to find that poverty, the opposite of wealth, is also about the feeling and about the experience. Therefore, Ashir, a wealthy person, and Dal, a poor person, do not describe the value of the person or even the quantity of his wealth. They describe how the person feels about what he has. Far too often, we judge human happiness according to outward appearances. And far too often, we accustom ourselves and our children to overestimate the value of material acquisitions. No person should be rated according to the quantity of his material acquisitions or his status in society. Our kids can hear it in our voices. They hear how we talk. We can only rate a person as happy or unhappy by looking into his heart. Isn't that the truth? Isn't it obvious to us that wealthier people are not happier people? That happiness in life doesn't rise in parallel with the bank balance? It might even be an inverse correlation if popular culture is any indication. If money won't actually solve our problems, then what is the secret of happiness? Value your life not according to possessions, but according to what you do with your possessions. It's not how much or how little you have that makes you great or small, but how much you are with what you have. That is it which makes you great or small. And if with your little, you have fulfilled 3/4 of what you could do for others, and another person with his plenty has done only 1/4 of his, even if his 1/4 is incomparably more than the 3/4 you've managed, you are still greater than he. The scale against which we are judged in life is how much have we done with what we have. How much we have done within the scope of our means and abilities. That is our greatness. Now, I'm not here to tell you that material possessions have no meaning and no value. They can't be underestimated. They make it possible to fulfill our task in life. They are the resources we require to act and to live. But while material possessions have importance, their importance is in how we can use them. They are not in and of themselves important or defining of importance. There are superior goals that actually lead to happiness. That's somewhere money can't take you. The prophet Jeremiah says, "Ko amar Hashem, so says God, al yishalel chacham bechachmaso, v'al yishalel hagibor begvuraso, al yishalel ashir be'ashro. So says the Lord, let not the wise man congratulate himself on his wisdom. Let not the strong man congratulate himself on his strength. Let not the rich man congratulate himself on his riches. Ki im bezos yishalel hamis halel, haskel v'yadoa osi, ki ani Hashem ose chesed mishpat utzdaka va'aretz. Only in this should a person pride himself. Be smart, know me, for I am God who performs justice, kindness, and equity in the world. Ki va'ele chofatzti ne'um Hashem. These are what I take pleasure in, declares God. Let's take a look at the verses in chapter 22. Verses 1 and 2. Nivchar shem me'osher rav, mikesef u'mizahav chein tov. A good name is preferable to great wealth, and grace is better than silver and gold. Ashir v'arash nifgashu, osei chulam Hashem. The rich man and poor man meet. God is maker of them all. Verse 4. Ekev anava yiras Hashem osher v'chavod v'chayim. The result of humility is awe of God, wealth, respect, and life. Verse 7. Ashir barashim yimshol ve'eved loved le'ish malve. A rich man dominates a poor man. A borrower is enslaved to a lender. Verse 9. Tov ayin hu yivorach ki nosan milachmo ladal. One with a good eye, a generous person, is blessed because he has given of his bread to the poor. Verse 16. O sheik dal laharboslo nosein la'ashir ach lemachzor. One who oppresses the poor for his own profit or gives gifts to the wealthy who don't even need it, he causes only loss. Verse 22. Al tigzal dal ki dal hu, ve'al tidake oni vashar. Don't rob the poor person because he is poor, and do not oppress the poor person at the gate. And we know, in our heart of hearts, although we wish it weren't so, that the path of wealth and undisturbed well-being is not usually the path to where we flourish and become greater people. It's often when our material well-being is really shaken that we become aware of the importance of the eternal and meaningful values in life that truly give us inspiration that can never be taken away from us. Thank you for studying together with me. Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.